Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Welcome to our second episode ever.
Welcome back.
We are so excited you're here. Today's episode is all about why we are non-diet dietitians, or what does it mean? There's a lot of language there and it gets really complicated and not everybody knows what it actually is all about. And so we're just trying to introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Kelly and I both have had some days where we just can't really, we're having one of those days. We can't really get words out. We might be joined by a symphony of dogs that have decided to, you know, bark right outside my, my building. So that should be fun if that happens. I'm really sorry.
We're dog lovers.
Exactly. Kelly, are you drinking anything fun?
Fun, yeah. I guess it's, so this is what happened. I'll just be real with you guys. You know, we're Dietitians Uncorked, so we're starting at least our first few episodes with a glass of wine, which we enjoy. My fiance bought some wine today, actually, and he came back with it. And then I looked at the label, and unfortunately, it's like the one that I don't think either of us like, actually. Like, we've had it several times, and it hasn't been the greatest. But, you know, your taste buds change. We always try new stuff in our household, trying to come around to things if we don't like them. And we have a new aerator, which I use, so I thought maybe that would help. But it didn't help too much. So I'm not thrilled with it, but you know, I'm going to make the best of it because we're here.
That's right. Making the best of it. I am, on the other hand, drinking something I'm really excited about. I'm drinking it's a blend. It's a Chilean wine. I'm Chilean. I might have to say that every time I introduce Chilean wine, but it's called Ribera del Nodro. I think they partner with a wine that I really love from Chile. And I bought these things. They came kind of together in a big wine box of happiness. And so it's delicious. It's dry. It's peppery. It's my favorite kind of wine.
I'm so envious right now.
It's so good. It's one of those bottles that you are drinking and then you just like don't want it to end. So you drink less because you're like, I'm not ready for you to be done.
Yeah. Like a good book.
Yeah. But then the problem is with wine, if you leave your wine open, you know, for several days, which is, it's happening with this bottle. I'm at the very bottom and it's sad to see it go.
No, you need more.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, Kelly, do you want to talk about what is diet culture? Like when you hear the words, you know, or like people say like, oh, this is diet culture or anti-diet culture. What does it mean to you?
Yeah. Let me give this a whirl here because it is a complex topic for sure. But I think for me, what it distills down to is like a set of beliefs, you know, that lead to like certain thoughts and behaviors and emotions. And all of that is really centering around the notion that like there's one ideal body type and like thinness is associated with health. So if you're thin, you're healthy. If you're fat, you're unhealthy. And I think with that, you know, for a lot of people, it causes them to pursue a certain body type, this like ideal, you know, notion that many cultures have, not just in the States, which we'll touch on later. But I think many people pursue that. And so, you know, they go on diets and they try all these like tips and tricks that they see on the internet and, you know, detox teas and all that stuff. And I say all this not to shame anyone who's done any of those things.
Sure,
like we're
sure.
exposed to that messaging constantly. And if yeah. you're, you know, receiving that message that you're not valued or respected or you need to change, then of course it makes sense that people buy into that. Like, I totally get that. But I think that that's what's so horrible about it is that mm-hmm. it has this like grip over people because mm-hmm. of a lot of societal, you know, values that, we see.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. I think that's, you know, diet culture is unfortunately ubiquitous. It's
yes.
literally everywhere. And it's so frustrating to be on the sideline of somebody who is trying to help people find health. And the concept of diet culture is so unhealthy in so many ways. It's also very, there's a lot of prejudice in diet culture. It's not just about thinness and about body looking a specific way, but it has a color. It typically is associated with a specific socioeconomic level, or at least it preaches to achieve that. And I think there's a lot of fear mongering of, you know, eating healthy requires you to be able to spend X amount of dollars or money on specific foods that are not necessarily achievable for every person. You know, like mm-hmm. not every person can afford to eat these things. And I think something that a lot of people, maybe there's a misconception here, but when there's so much media attention about, you know, just to use an example, organic food, as organic food is the only healthy option within the produce section that you should, you know, you're actually going to get any nutrients from. There is a misconception thinking that, okay, well, those who can't afford it, you know, will do organic, but those who can't afford it will just choose a different option from the regular produce aisle because it's just like the next best thing. And really what happens is in this diet toxic culture of trying to everything fit in this very tiny little lens is that, you know, people who have limited resources will choose not to consume fruits and vegetables because it isn't healthy unless it's organic, or they choose to spend a lot more money on something that they could have saved more money. They could have prepared a little bit more to have more nourishing meals. And that maybe I'm going into a rabbit hole here, but what I guess what I'm trying to say is diet culture is so specific to mm-hmm. what the outcomes need to be. And it targets every single person. And so mm-hmm. when we think about people who can't afford certain foods, I mean, those people are being affected by diet culture. We're not just talking about a very specific group of people who are health conscious. We're talking about adolescents, we're talking about older people, we're talking about rich and poor people, we're talking about all ethnicities. So it really is something that affects us all.
Yeah. And in listening to you speak about that, it gives the notion that like there's this perfect choice, right? Like yeah. you said, whatever it is, organic, whatever you want to apply it to, but that there's like one perfect choice for everyone, which is crazy because there are so many different types of people from so many walks of life, so many cultures, and that's what makes, you know, our world beautiful, of course. But diet culture has this way of distilling it down to like, this is the perfect choice for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you can't make that choice, then well, shit, like, you know,
you're not
just
healthy.
Out of luck. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like
you will be sick for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Yes. It's such bullshit.
Yes.
And it is such a profitable
yep
and like efficient way to oppress people. Like if you can't
oh, yeah.
make that, whatever it is, you can't buy this food or join this gym, whatever it is, then you know you are less than, like you're not as, you're inferior, which
exactly
It's just mind-blowing.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I think when we think of somebody, you know, when if you were to think of somebody who is successful, right? Like think of somebody who you kind of look up to and say, wow, that person has really made it in life. Like they are successful within their business. They have good health. They are doing well in life. The first image that comes to your mind is likely a specific body type, a thin one. It, maybe if you're thinking about a male, it's a muscular one, not just a thin one. Mm-hmm. This individual probably meets the standards of beauty that you and I have been exposed to as the ultimate goal. And that person likely has maybe a specific color of skin. I don't know. But we think as like the ultimate wellness, we think of that image. We think of success in wellness in that setting. We think of that image, and it's so ridiculously wrong. And if I'm selling you that image, if I'm saying the ultimate, you know, health and wellness and kind of the key to that person's success, because we attribute that, you know, obviously being healthy is part of that. If I can sell you something to get you there, I mean, the attraction of that sort of pitch, right? I'm telling you, you can look like this person. You can be this person. If you only eat specific times, days, if you eat this or that, if you have all these rules, if you ignore your own intuition because your intuition's wrong, and you should follow my plan and pay me money. I mean, it's so tempting because mm-hmm. it feels achievable to fit within this image that's really false. What makes me really sad is how appealing it is and how many of us, and I will include myself in there, how many of us have fallen into that trap of wanting to pay money to fit that description. And no matter how much money you have in the bank, no matter how energy you are spending trying to obtain these things or follow this restrictive diet, or no matter what it costs you, it is still attractive to want to pursue that for the sake of a false idea of health. Yeah.
And if you think about what's tied to that, like, why is that attractive to people? Like, circling back to our mention of, you know, oppression and prejudice, like, if you think, okay, what are people who are buying into whatever diet it is, what do they think that's going to get them? Well, of course, they, you know, have experienced prejudice, hands down, like healthcare system, workplace, friends, family, you know, a lot of areas for people to feel devalued, disrespected, demoralized. So when something comes along that's promising this result that they see is associated with, you know, not experiencing those things, like, it makes total sense. Like, that is why the diet industry is so freaking profitable.
Yeah.
Because they're playing into that. They're very smart, unfortunately. Very but we smart. Are smarter.
Right? I hope so. It's so sad. And, you know, we have a podcast coming up later on thin privilege. But I briefly want to just touch on that a little bit too, because the nutritionists or the dietitians who are sometimes selling you these diets, these restrictive diets, or these very complex sometimes where you're having to spend a lot more time reading labels, nothing against reading labels, but just the culture around diet culture is super toxic. But if you think about the voices or the image perpetrating this culture, if you think about what those people look like, I just can't help but to feel like they're cheating because they're using their genetics, their looks, especially they're attractive, which nothing bad on attractive people, but come on, you cannot sell a product ensure your body and ignore the fact that, like, okay, please show us your parents and your grandparents and see mm-hmm. how they look, you know, have they also been following this crazy restrictive diet? And is that why they look like that? Or are they just, do they just have a very fantastic, you know, genetic composition that creates beautiful bodied people that fit within the standards of beauty that we subscribe to?
Right. Like, genetics is such a huge part of it.
Yes.
Which is why, like, when people, you know, go on a diet, maybe they lose weight initially, maybe they, you know, maintain that weight loss for a while, but for most people, you know, they're probably going to return to that weight. I think we had, did you want to pull up, we were looking at yeah. what, national eating disorder. Let's pull that up. That seems relevant yeah. right now.
Yes. So we looked at some statistics. We've talked about this, just privately many times, but mm-hmm. There's statistics from the nationaleatingdisorder.org where it talks about 95% of all dieters will regain their lost weight within 1 to 5 years. 95. I mean, can we just talk about the ridiculousness of the assumption that following a diet will be the solution for your life when 95% right. of people who do this regain their yeah,
which is weight. Not their fault.
Yes.
But it's the, you know, dieting doesn't work. Like, trying to control all these aspects of what we put into our bodies doesn't, because nutrition is so complex, you know, it doesn't work. We can't control things like to that level. But people blame themselves when the diet doesn't work. Like, in what other aspect of life would we operate like that? Like,
yeah,
if a medicine doesn't work for you,
for 95% of body, people,
right? Yeah, you blame the medicine. Like, yeah, that didn't work for me. But in the diet, you know, dieting world, nutrition world, it doesn't go that way.
Yeah. And there's so much stigma within the diet culture that is, it's perpetuating even just a bigger problem or another aspect of diet culture, which is mental health. I mean, if we think mm-hmm. about ultimate wellness and ultimate health, wouldn't mental health be a massive part of it? You would think, right? But I think there's another statistic that really caught my eye. It said 79% of weight loss program participants reported coping with weight stigma by eating more food. I mean, weight stigma was so massively influential in their journey through a weight loss program. I mean, think of some programs where they literally clap if you lose weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, ugh. And they coped by it by eating more, you know? And so it's just, this whole system is so broken and toxic, and it's yeah. the opposite of health.
Yeah. And eating, you know, eating can be and is a coping mechanism. Like,
yeah.
it provides comfort. And
it does.
There are times in life where that's okay. Like, we yeah. are human and shit is hard. So it's, you know, it makes it seem like you can, a lot of programs, a lot of diets make it seem like you can only eat if you're hungry. But, you know, it's certainly more complex than that. We eat for a ton of reasons aside from yeah. like true physical hunger.
Yeah. I think something I talk a lot with my clients is sort of like, think of your bestie, like your best friend. And let's say your best friend's been struggling and with whatever you want to use your imagination for. And then whatever she was struggling with, she is successful. She's getting recognition. She is happy. She's having a moment of just one of those rare moments in life where you feel like, oh my gosh, I am doing this well. I'm getting recognition. I'm being successful at whatever. And she calls you and she's like, we are going to celebrate. Like, we are going out. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a dinner, or we're coming over and we're just going to celebrate. Mm-hmm. If you think of your bestie and you're like, want to treat her, right? You want to like be there for her. You want to just like celebrate her. you are not going to show up with a box of carrots or something. Like, you're not going to be a criminal. You're going to show up right. with, you know, whatever your bestie loves. You take out some champagne, some wine, the donuts she loves, the cake. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, in that moment of like wanting to celebrate your bestie, it's, you're having this shared experience where food is a part of the celebration. And so we cannot talk about food in a relationship with our body and our emotions if we have to take that away. I mean, how ridiculous would that be if you were like, oh no, for my health, I'm actually just going to eat one carrot. You have this sad piece of pie by yourself because you know, this is it. I'm honoring my hunger. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Like, you missed out on your life and making memories and sharing those experiences. And that's part of what dieting so often steals from people, is like being able to participate in that. Or even if they did participate in it, say you enjoy that or you have that piece of pie, but then you hate yourself. Like, you can't even enjoy it because you're feeling guilt and shame because you're eating it. Like, you experienced it, quote unquote, but you didn't actually, you know, derive pleasure from it because you have these other emotions like just weighing you down. Did you like my hand motions? I know people can't see that.
I love that you brought that up, because I think, you know, part of what makes diet culture so toxic is that cycle of completely repressing all of your emotional needs when it comes to, you know, enjoying things that you love, ignoring your hunger cues, ignoring what your body is actually telling you, eating like a little bird, and then coming to a point where you just can no longer do it. And then you overeat. Because these are not allowed foods, and you're like, you need to get all the foods in before you go back into the cycle. And it's just, it's a very toxic, cyclical thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this and you like can relate to it, I just, part of the reason I think Kelly and I went into this is because we are half the time telling people like, you are not alone in doing this. Mm-hmm. There are so many people on this toxic cycle and just can't seem to get off.
It's wild. I mean,
it really is.
It's such a profitable industry at the expense of humans, like, and human experience, which Kat is exactly right. Like, that's why you and I went into this field, is to help people feel better. And, you know, we've both worked in settings together and separately where, you know, the intention is like kind of there, like people are trying to help other people be healthier, but there's a lot of ways to, how do I say it? Do it wrong. Like, there's a lot of ways to just mess it up and like complicate someone's relationship with their mind, body, food.
Yeah. And I think something that if you're getting into like trying to understand what diet culture is and why there's so many people that are like non-diet or anti-diet. If you just like do a really quick view of social media, under those topics, sometimes what can get across there, and I think that we may not do the best job at communicating this, as, you know, nutrition professionals, but the desire to want to improve your health by trying to follow a diet that, you know, quote unquote, brings you health and whatever all the fuzzy words that come with it, you know, detoxifying and energized and boost your whatever, that desire is so legitimate. And half the people that ask me questions, you know, as soon as, I know this is your experience too, but as soon as you tell somebody that we're registered dietitians at a party, Oh my goodness. People just want to know everything that you think about all the latest fad diets. And it, mm-hmm. is it true that if you put water inside, whatever, it makes, you know, there's all those questions. And I think that there is a legitimate hunger.
Yeah.
For trying to understand how you get healthier. You know, how do mm-hmm. you take care of your body? How do you, eat well, you know, how do you take care of your health in the nutrition world? And it's sad that there is so much confusion out there that typically the people who want to pursue these restrictive diets are the ones who just legitimately want to feel better, want to be healthier. Mm-hmm. And it's just, ugh. So that's why we're here, you guys. That's why we are here.
That was going to be my next sentence. Like, that is why we are here is,
yeah.
of course, we want to help people feel better and, you know, achieve their health goals if that's what's important to them. But dieting is not the answer. When we look at health as a whole, you know, health involves physical health, mental health, emotional health. Like, there are so many components to health, and dieting often ignores, you know, most of those. Just not yeah. going to get us anywhere in the long term. Might get you somewhere short term.
Sure.
But not long term.
Sure.
We're in it for the long haul.
Yes. So we wanted to give you a few action steps to, let's say you're just starting out on this journey and you're like realizing how bad diet culture is and how it has influenced you personally. Like, what could you do to maybe start taking some distance from that or having some more awareness? Because honestly, half the battle is understanding that we are in a bad cycle and that mm-hmm. our understanding of overall health is, it's just really mistaken. So mm-hmm. I think the one thing, Kelly, you and I, we both talk about this with our clients. I think it's in our blog as well. So, you know, a little promotion here, go to our website, nutriving.com. But we spend a lot of time writing this,
guys. Blood, sweat, and tears and wine.
Yeah, really. But we talk about some things you can do. And one of those is do a social media sort of surveillance. Just mm-hmm. look through, if you're an Instagrammer and you're following a lot of people who are constantly showing their body type and, you know, telling you to drink water with zucchini in it and go on this long fast and whatever, maybe that person's doing what they think is best and it's worked for them and, you know, good for you, whatever. But maybe this is causing you some actual anxiety about your own body. Maybe mm-hmm. after you look through your Instagram feed for a little bit, you end up feeling like you don't want to be seen. You don't want to participate in anything socially because you're embarrassed about your body. Or maybe you look at your lunch and you see that it doesn't compare to this person's immaculate, you know, green smoothie with this beautiful salad that probably took that person 20 hours, but you know, they don't tell you that. So just take a moment and maybe what triggers you to be in a bad mental state does not trigger the next person. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, is this a good or bad account? It's more about how is this affecting me personally. And I mm-hmm. find that sometimes in my life I'm doing great and, you know, doesn't matter. I can follow whatever, but sometimes things really do get to me. So maybe look around and see if, are you following people that are peddling these diets, this lifestyle that is just not for you right now. And right. it's not really helping your mental health.
Yeah, like taking note of how you feel, like not exactly. externally, how does that account look, but like, how do you yes. feel after you look at it?
Yes.
Yes. Great tip. An action step I could give today, something I've been talking a lot about with clients recently, is taking note of what food rules you have. So yeah. even if someone maybe doesn't consider themselves to be following a certain diet, many people, the vast majority, have, you know, dieted before, whether that's for a few weeks, a few months, a few years, a few decades. You know, we don't come out of that just like erasing everything that you went through. So a lot of times someone can might be on the other side of that, but you still have these, you know, conscious or like even subconscious rules about food. So things that we often hear is like people completely avoiding like white, you know, carbs. Like, I only eat whole grain stuff. Nothing against whole grain, right? But why do you feel that way? Like, I am much more interested in why you are eating or not eating something than like what you're actually eating. Or, you know, the like fruit. We just wrote a blog post. You just did a fantastic blog post about fruit sugar. I just saw a clip on the Today Show with this doctor literally telling people to avoid certain types of fruit because they're high in sugar. I about lost my damn mind watching that. But I digress, right? Yeah. These rules that you pick up from media or you pick up from diets that you followed, like when you're eating, try to take note of what's going on. Like, what's going on in your mind? Why are you making the choices that you're making? And I think that can do a lot in terms of kind of uncovering what's going on the inside.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Deep stuff for episode two.
that blog post about fruit, that was because I've had so many people in the last encounter, somebody was like, yeah, I avoid it because my doctor mentioned it, you know, my mom's diabetic. And I was just, oh my God, I cannot.
It's so common. It is so common. And often it comes from other, you know, allied health fields. Got to bust that myth. Just go read the blog post the cat wrote.
Go read it.
And then everything.
If you need my help to talk to your doctor, I explicitly make a commitment on that blog post to call your doctor. So I'm not taking that back.
Not mess around.
Oh no, hell no. Okay. So another one is, and this is one that we talk a lot to, especially in the beginning of our sessions with clients, is check your motivation. And trying to follow a diet that's like new and it's like edgy, it's just sexy. It's like, oh, you know, you just do this and like, look at me, I've lost blah. And then I feel this. It's attractive to hear that. It's exciting to start a new thing. And it feels like a fresh start. And so when there's a new diet that comes around and it just sounds exciting, check your motivation. Is it coming from a place, you know, did you just recently look at a photo of you from a long time ago and it triggered something in you and you're trying to find an excuse to engage in disordered eating behavior? Because we all do it. I mean, it sounds heavy, but literally we all do this. Mm-hmm. Is it because you had pizza last night and you just, the amount of guilt is just eating you up, and now this like new, very restrictive diet comes around and you're just excited to try it because of the pizza? You know, check that motivation. And if it's because you just really want to be healthier, then have you done your homework? Did you check if this diet has actual scientific evidence? And this part can be tricky. And if you need some guidance, you know, we're here for that. But I think checking your motivation can be a good starting point, because half the time this super restrictive approach, no one really wants to be restrictive about their diet. No one just, I would love just some celery juice for the next 2 weeks. That sounds delicious for me. Like, no one really wants craving that, right? Really wanting to just put cayenne pepper and lemon on a bottle and just drink that whole day, have terrible diarrhea. That's really what I want for my week. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're wanting to engage that, if you're willing to go and sacrifice so much of yourself for this stupid ass diet, where is that motivation coming from? Mm-hmm. Is this a really healthy place for you to engage in disordered eating? I'm just going to say it again, because we all do it in these diets. Half of them promote that. So,
right. And then I would piggyback off that, like, is whatever is involved with that diet or that plan is it sustainable for you? Like, would you want to do that every day for the rest of your life? And if the answer is no, that's a red flag, you know?
Yep. Yep. Are we just putting a Band-Aid on a massive problem?
Right.
And just because you have a green juice in your hand, it doesn't mean it's healthy. It looks healthy because it's just what people sell. But let me tell you, something green in your hand, there's no magic.
No, no magic. But there is magic in overall, you know, sustainable, healthy habits, stuff that you want to do every day. Yeah. It's not as sexy. I can hear it as I say it. It's just not as sexy.
Yeah. But, you're but like seeing truth. People's eyes glaze over as soon as you're
keep
like,
listening. Please don't go.
Yeah. I know. It's just not, it's not sexy. It's not new. It's not exciting. You know, but
it's the real deal.
It is the real deal. It's the real deal.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. And I hope that this episode brought a little more clarity as to why we're pretty obnoxiously loud about this topic. I mean, we like to talk about, because we're in the area of nutrition, which is a science-based field, and half, I would say 90% of the time, we are fighting against things that make no sense scientifically speaking. They're not evidence-based. They don't use any actual process, like any other science where you have a process of understanding, of testing, of experimenting, of coming with actual conclusions, of saying, actually, this does make sense. Half of these things have no scientific base and they're hurting you.
Right. It's like, have you ever seen a research study that tells that their conclusion is you should not eat grapes? Because I don't know, I haven't, and I'm looking on there all the time, and yet you hear that shit constantly
all the time. Just don't even get me started on bananas. No. I think
we were trying to wind down, but we're just getting too fired up.
Yes, but anyhow, we care for you, and for your mental health and for your overall health. Non-diet approach is not necessarily that we ignore the science. We love the science related to nutrition and wanting to eat healthier and more nutrient dense diet. We are all about it. We're just not about all the bullshit that's attached to diet culture. So
if you want more of that, come back to us, please. We're going to have more episodes kind of diving into all of these topics. But we're hoping to give kind of an introduction to why we operate, you know, how we do, and kind of what we're about.
Thank you so much for being here. We are so excited that you tuned in, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. We wish you a fantastic day, and salud. Cheers.
Till next time.